everyone. Good morning, DTI. Let's try that one more time. Good morning, DTI. It is a joy to be with you this morning. Now, we're going to dive into the Word of God. We've heard a bit about the importance of being in the Word of God already in our time together, so we're going to dive into it in a moment. But before we get there, I'd love to share with you a picture that I had as I looked out on you in worship. You know those TV shows where the big idea is the house is a certain kind of way and then we're going to meet with like a team of architects and then absolutely transform the house and we're going to see a before and after and it's going to be next level and our jaws are going to drop and it's going to be a wonderful day. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Wonderful. Well, you are the house. This is the picture the Lord is putting on your radar this morning. In you, in Christ, God is building you up to be a spiritual house. He is remodeling your life. And in the midst of that, you see, we see the before and the after. Not in many of these shows do we fully walk through the process. But when we walk through the process between the before and after, we see that this is not a house in a condition that you would invite people to. It doesn't tend to be safe. You need to have a safety hat on and safety shoes on to move through it. And often when you look down at your life, especially as a young person seeking to follow Jesus, you might look at your house and you don't see beauty, you see mess. But the Spirit of God says to you today, what you call a mess, He calls a masterpiece in progress. You might look at yourself, look in the mirror, and see dry bones. But the word of the Lord to you this morning is that where you see dry bones, the Lord sees an army. And you have been commissioned in this already. It's been such a joy to hear the stories of what the Lord has been doing. But yes, if there's anyone here who doesn't feel fully with the program, can I encourage you? This is right where you should be. You're not an outlier. This is a normal part of the experience. But hang on in there because God sees something in you that if you had the eyes to see it, you would be in awe. You wouldn't be able to recognize yourself. The Father loves you fully as you are right now, but there is something that He is calling you to, and so brace yourself for it. Amen. Now, as far as I'm concerned, that wasn't in my talk, so for me, my timer starts now. So from this point, we dive into our passage for this morning. This morning, we're going to spend some time looking at what it is to live a life of wisdom and trust. The next bit in our journeying into what it is that Jesus invites us into when He invites us into life to the full. This morning, we are looking at a life of wisdom and trust. Our passage for this morning is from the book of James, James chapter 1, from verse 2 to verse 5. So in a moment, I'm going to read that in your hearing. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. And when I finish reading, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord, and I would love you to respond, thanks be to God. Can we try that out together? This is the word of the Lord. Wonderful. Amen. Amen. Great. James chapter 1 from verse 2 to verse 5. Hear these words from God's word. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. This is the word of the Lord. Let's share in another moment of prayer. Thank you that you are here, God. Would you come and lead and guide us by your truth? Lord, would you speak to our minds? More than that, would you speak to our hearts? More than that, would you speak to our spirits by your word? Would we be refined as we come before you? And may we know the fullness, the joy of life in Jesus in new measures on the back of our time together this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd love to invite you into a day in my life. The day in particular is the 2nd of April, 2022, nearly a year and a half ago. It's a Saturday, and I am at home in my flat in East London, in Mile End. And because, hey, shout out to Mile End, come on. And because it's a Saturday, I tend to try on Saturdays to like have a day in with God, have a day of rest, have a day of worship. And so I'm doing my good Christian girl thing. I'm sitting in my bed in my jammies. I've got my Bible open, having a whale of a time. And in the midst of this, I get a phone call. Now, I don't tend to get phone calls. I don't tend to pick phone calls on a Saturday, and I don't recognize this number, so I don't pick, because I'm good on my, like, you know, my safety with online and whatnot, so I don't pick this unknown number. I'm trying to stay safe out here, but I do Google the number. I'm like, okay, let me just check out who it is, if possible. So I Google the number, and what I see is that my bank is calling me, and now I'm like, why is my bank calling me on a Saturday morning? I'm like, it can't be for anything good. So I'm like, I try and call them back. I'm like, something is going down. So I try and ring them back, and then it doesn't go through. So I'm like, what's going on? So I pray. I'm Christian. I pray. I say, Lord, please let the bank ring me back. And moments later, I get a call back from the bank. Wonderful. So this gentleman is on the other end of the line, and he's asking me a few questions to verify who I am, and I verify them, whatnot. All of that goes down well. And then he asks me if I've just taken out an £160 direct debit in Bristol. Now, for those of you who heard what I said a moment ago, you know that I'm very much in my flat in East London. I'm absolutely not in Bristol. So I'm like, absolutely not. And then he's like, yeah, that's just happened, but we've blocked it on your account. We've actually been noticing some suspicious activity in your account, and my panic levels are beginning to rise considerably. So he says, do you know what? Just talk me through the recent transactions on your account. Let's walk through some things that you've been doing this past week. Absolutely, no problem. And in a matter of moments, it becomes very clear to me what has happened. You see, earlier on in that week, I had been going about my London life. And just before I was leaving home on the Tuesday, I got a text from the Royal Mail. And that text said that I had missed a delivery, and it asked me to reschedule one and to pay a nominal fee. Now, I'm a bit distracted and whatnot, but I'm like, okay, cool, cool. Let me just get this sorted out. I haven't ordered anything, but it has happened to me in the past that friends of mine have bought stuff for me and sent it to me without me knowing. So I'm there thinking, maybe this is my lucky day. I've got a surprise re-delivery. So I go on, I follow the link, I put my details in. It only charges me £1.45. I'm like, I can live with that. And I go about my day. And I'd say this to the man on the other end of the phone, and he asks me, is that normal Royal Mail practice? And in that moment, the scales fall from my eyes, and I realize that I have been scammed. Amidst my distraction, amidst my going about my life, I have been scammed. And I had already been feeling panicked, but at this point, my panic levels rise to the roof. I am instantly panicked, but also I am instantly relieved. And I'm relieved because I have a lovely guy on the other end of the phone who reassures me that this kind of thing happens all the time. They deal with this stuff all the time. It'll be no bother to him to help sort me out. So instant panic, but instant relief. Wonderful. We proceed, and he lets me in on his plan to secure my account. Do you want to know his plan to secure my account? What he tells me is that we need to secure my account. It's been compromised, and we're chatting through the different aspects of my account. Now, I don't have loads of money. I am indeed a professional Christian, but I do have a savings account. And in my savings account, I have put together all of the pennies that I've been able to muster all over the year. So it's not a lot, but it's all that I have. And he says, we have to protect your savings account. And I say, we have to protect my savings account. And so he says, right, let's do that. What we're going to do is that we are going to create for you a new account. And what's going to happen is that you're going to transfer money, in particular your savings, from the account that it currently is in into this new account, and all will be well. Amen. Ah, indeed, indeed. Now in that moment, there was something like sirens that went off in my head, because it seemed that what he was telling me to do, was the right thing to do. But there was also something on the inside of me that was saying, nah, this is the wrong thing to do. So I said, you know what, sir, thanks so much for your kind assistance. Let me just get back to you on that real quick. I called around a few people. They're like, sister in Christ, do not let this transaction go through. And with that, the Lord saved me and my savings. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Aren't I relieved? Well, thank you for sharing in my joy. Thank you for sharing in a particular moment in my life. But in highlighting that moment in my life, I'm highlighting something that's true about our lives. You see, we live in a world, and in particular as those who seek to follow Jesus, we live in a world where all is not as it seems. We live in a world where often the thing that is brought to us as the right thing to do is in fact the wrong thing to do. Where at points what is the right thing to do can get you shouted down as the wrong thing to do. We live in a world where all is not as it seems. And to navigate that world, we need wisdom. We need the ability to understand before what appears before us what the right thing to do is, the right thing to do from God's perspective. You see, in that moment, there was a trap set before me from those that were trying to steal my treasure, my savings. And as you and I go about life in this world, we have an enemy, and he is constantly setting traps before us to come about our treasure, far more than any money in any bank account. The joy of a Christian's life, the treasure of our lives, is our communion with Jesus. And we have an enemy who is on the prowl to draw our treasure from us, to get us to move away from our treasure. And we need to be aware of this. And so in our time together, we are going to explore what it is to be those who are savvy to the schemes of the evil one, what it is to be those who recognize truth and can tell it apart from lies. That is the buffet the Lord has before us in this time. Our treasure is Jesus. And you see, God has made us, he has made us to enjoy him. God has made us for his pleasure. That's what we see in the book of Revelation. Not because he was bored, not because he didn't have anything better to do, but because it gave him delight to make all things, and you and I in particular, in the midst of that. God has made us for his pleasure, and he has made us to know pleasure in him. That is the basic of what it is to be a human being. And that's the world that we're invited into in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, a world where we are in communion with God, where we are enjoying Him and He is enjoying us. But in Genesis chapter 3, we come across, as it were, the scam of all scams. In Genesis chapter 3, the first humans are in the garden of God's delight, and then there comes in another force, this serpent. And crucially, what he does is he tells them that what God has said is the right thing to do is in fact the wrong thing to do. God has set the first humans in the garden and has given them all of creation for their enjoyment, for them to care for. In the midst of that, he tells them, you have all of this to enjoy. Stay away from this one tree because I said so. And in this moment in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent comes and says, what God has said is nothing. This is a key part of how the enemy works. He takes the truth and he distorts it. He says, did God really say? And then he also puts doubt into their minds as to whether or not God is trustworthy. He tells them, God is just trying to keep you from having the best life possible. God is just scared of your potential outside of Him. God doesn't really have your best interests in hearts at heart. And so He seduces them. He puts before them this idea that seems right, but is wrong. And in that moment, they foolishly decide to go their own way. They foolishly decide to go the path that has been laid before them, not knowing that it was a trap. And in that moment, so much is lost to them. You see, so much of that chimes with how we experience life today. Why should we do life on God's terms? Why should we do what He tells us to do? So much of our modern understanding of freedom is doing whatever we want to do, not being told what to do, doing whatever we want to do. And in one respect, we are totally free to do that. But freedom sometimes leads us in places that we would rather not go. Some of you have been on holiday. Some of you are going on holiday to places where they drive on, as I would say, the wrong side of the road. Places where they drive on the right side of the road. Think of France. Think of places like that. They drive on the right side of the road. And if you rock up from the UK over to France and you say, yeah, I know they're telling me to drive on the right side of the road, but I want to be free. I want to do me. I'm just going to drive on the left side of the road and we'll be what it is. It'll be what it is. You do you, I do me. What's going to happen? You're going to find yourself not in a nice chalet. You're going to find yourself in a hospital. And you might resemble something like me. You will be there and you'll have caused pain, not just to yourself, but to others. And some of this captures the human experience post-Genesis 3. Crash after crash after crash. Because we are set in a world where God has given us all things for our enjoyment, for pleasure in the company of Him. And yet again and again and again and again and again, we choose to go our own way and we find ourselves in a colossal mess. This is some of how the Bible diagnoses our human experience. You see, it is totally fair to think freedom is doing what you want to do, but only when doing what you want to do brings you into life. And also when you are aware that there is an enemy that you need to steer clear of. So this is our condition. What else is there? Well, thankfully, the Bible doesn't end in Genesis chapter 3. And as it progresses, we see that there is something spectacular at play. Yes, the enemy sets traps for us, but above his work, God is setting tests for us. This is some of what we see in Genesis 1 and 2 before Genesis 3. Yes, there is a trap, but before that, there is a test. And there is a video from the Bible Project. They are a resource that I use online to help me in the Bible. And as we're talking about what it is to love the Word of God and to grow in our understanding of it, I would highly recommend their work to you. They have a video called The Test that puts this in really helpful terms. You see, the first man and woman are told, do this and don't do this. And God is putting before them a test. And we can hear that and think, how dare God test them? Tests are not nice. I sure did not like a single math test that I ever had in school. Tests are not nice. Tests are surely just our teachers out to get us. And I think that was nearly certainly the case with my math teacher. But in general, with other subjects, there is no way to get through school without doing tests, like them or not. And the point of a test is not so much to trip you out. The point of a test is to give you an opportunity to grow. It's to give you an opportunity to advance from one class into another class. If you want perhaps to go to university someday, if you want to have a certain kind of job, you're going to need to move from this test to this test to this test to get where you're going. And in the garden, God gives the first humans a test, not because he has ulterior motives against them, but because he's giving them an opportunity to grow. So yes, the enemy sets traps for us, but could it be that the very thing the enemy means to trap us, God means to be an opportunity for us to grow? You see, nowhere do we see this dynamic more clearly than when we are going through hard times, when things do not work out the way that we want. I know for myself, when I was 13 years old, I used to compete in hip hop. I can throw it down on a dance floor. Not really right now. I'm not going to try that right now for obvious reasons. But you find me on a good day and I'll take you down. So yes, I used to compete in hip hop. It was one of the joys of my life. And I was 13 and I was in a crew. I had made it through certain stages, certain tests, certain auditions. And I was in a group that was now dancing against other crews, other groups in Ireland. And there was this particular competition that we were training for in my crew. And that competition was for a qualifying competition in Ireland that would have us go into the World Championships of Hip Hop in Los Angeles if we made it through. Now that sounded like a good time to me. So I put my heart and soul in practicing for this competition. And I'm a Christian girl, so I prayed to the Lord and I said, Lord, this is what I want you to do. I really want you to help us win this competition. And I even upped my offer to the Lord. I said, Lord, here's an extra €2 that you can get because I really, really want us to win this competition. And I did what I could do, and we put our very best foot forward for this competition, and our very best wasn't good enough. We came a bitter, excruciating second place. I'd rather 50th place than second place. Give me a break. And in that moment, my world turned upside down. I was so disappointed. I said, God, you had one job. Why have we not won this competition? Some of you know what it's like to say to the Lord, Lord, you had one job. Lord, I just asked you to heal me of this illness. Lord, you had one job. Lord, why does my mom have this diagnosis? You have one job. Why are my friends turning against me? Lord, you had one job. One job! What use is it serving you if things don't go the way that I want, the way that I have planned? If you go on in the journey with Jesus, you will have moments when you are elated in love with him, but you will also have moments when you are bitterly disappointed, when things don't go the way that you want, and you say, Lord, you had one job. And in the midst of that moment, the enemy is going to be at work. I want to put it on your radar that those moments are not neutral. In the midst of that moment, in the midst of our greatest losses in life, we still have a treasure when we have Jesus. But the very thing the enemy is going to go after in that moment is not just the circumstance that is turned upside down. He's going to be going after your treasure. He's not going to be content with the few pennies in your regular account. He's going after your savings. He is going after your hope. And you need to be able to recognize that. When he comes before you in a moment of disorientation and despair, and he puts before you that the right thing to do is actually the wrong thing to do, and the wrong thing to do is the right thing to do, that actually perhaps you should stay away from God because he's not helping you out, he's not fulfilling his end of the bargain. Perhaps you should shut certain people out of your life and instead take up friendships with these other people that up until now you've thought perhaps were not great influences, but right now you don't even care because God's not done his part. Or perhaps you should find a friend in a bottle or in a substance or in doing something that God says doesn't lead to life. In those moments, these things can be so appealing to us. None of us is immune to this, but I want to tell you clearly, watch out. You have an enemy and he is trying to rob you blind. But in the midst of your enemy trying to rob you blind, there is something else that is also going on. When you are facing situations that don't make sense and things that haven't worked out in the way that you have wanted, God is up to something. And hear these words again from the book of James. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. When things have gone wrong and you think you've lost everything, there is something else that you still have. Consider this test an opportunity for great joy. Why? For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Let it grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. In other words, when your endurance is fully developed, you'll recognize the treasure that you have in Jesus, how he perfects you, how he completes you. And you can go through any circumstance, things go your way, things don't go your way, as long as you have Jesus genuinely, not in a Christian cliche sense, not in a we want to run away from pain and not look at it sense, in a true sense, when you have Jesus, you have everything. The passage continues, if you need wisdom, in case it wasn't clear to you already, you need wisdom. I need wisdom, you need wisdom. And so if you need wisdom, that would be all of us. What should you do? Ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. He will not shame you for asking. He won't say, we are such an idiot. Why didn't you know this already? He won't turn you away. He won't say, I've helped you so far. I'm not helping you anymore. No, if you need wisdom, come before our generous God and he will freely lavish it upon you. You see, it's no coincidence that this passage says our generous God, because when you go through all of life, but in particular some of the hardest days of life, you need to know the nature and the character of the God that we worship in Jesus, that he is generous, that he is faithful, that he is loving, that he is kind, that he is merciful, that he is consistent, that he is steadfast, that he is always with you, that he is an ever-present help in times of trouble. You need to know this God. You see, wisdom is about being able to hold on to the truth of God amidst the lies of the enemy. Wisdom is about treasuring and valuing the word of the Lord. Wisdom is about what you know. But more than it is about what you know, wisdom is about who you trust. And so, DTI, will you hear the invitation of the Spirit of God to you today? If today is the best day in your life, or if today finds you in a moment of significant difficulty and pain, will you hear the word of the Lord? Jesus is before you, and he says, will you trust me? Will you trust that it is in me that you will find life to the full? Will you trust me and not be seduced, not be waylaid by the lies of the enemy, by the lies of the culture, by the lies of a world that tells you God's way is a waste of time, that tells you that the wrong thing to do is in fact the right thing to do? Will you turn away from that? Will you not let the enemy scam you? But in the midst of your good days and your bad days, your rainy days and your sunny days, will you say, I put this before Jesus. Yes, I am having a difficult time. Yes, I'm having a wonderful time. In the midst of all of it, I choose to trust in Jesus. A life of wisdom is a life of trust in Jesus. I have followed him for basically all of my life. I have been raised in this faith, and there have been times when I've thought, do you know what? This is a colossal drag. I would much rather do things my own way. Yes, I believe in God. I have a lot of time for him every now and again, but when he disagrees with me, I would rather not. I have thought this, I have processed this, I have gone through seasons of journeying through this, but I can truthfully say over the course of my life that I have tasted and seen that this God is good. And if you take hold of his invitation, if you choose to trust him, regardless of how things seem, regardless of what you want, if you choose to submit that to him and trust him, I promise you, not just from me, but from the assurance of the scriptures and the Spirit of God, that you will not regret it. And as you go through the trials of this life, you are stacking up treasure that cannot be stolen, that cannot decay, that will never be taken away from you. There is no better decision than you can make with your life than to trust in Jesus. So the invitation is before you. Trust in God. Amen.